So before I start my message, I would like to say a few words of appreciation to Ivan. Thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love to our nation, to the Jewish people. And thank you for your friendship with Rabbi David and Sandy. Rabbi David and Sandy asked me to send you their love and thanks for everything. So welcome, and thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you. Today I would like to share my understanding of the Messianic movement and from the biblical point of view and from my understanding. And I know it's huge and general question, but I think we will cover at least piece of it today. And this is something from my experience and also from my understanding of the scriptures. So often I'm asked, actually, many people ask me the questions, what are you? What kind of an animal are you? Are you Christian or Jew? Why do you play church in the synagogue or opposite synagogue in the church? What is important about Messianic movement? Is it scriptural? How long has your movement been around? And the last one, probably most important, what is your legacy as a Messianic believer? I know it's huge questions, and I promise you I will not cover everything today. I will let you think about it and pray and read scriptures. So these are the questions we will address today. And I would like to start with the portion from Haftarah. And I would like to set my clock, so we will end today. Yeah, thank you so much. So Haftarah portion is Amos chapter 9. And thank you, Brian, for wine and for sharing the place of scripture, because I believe it is prophetically. We does not agree with him about scripture, what scriptures to use. And we use the place of scriptures, the same idea of restoration of the Jewish people. So Amos 9 from the verse 11. When the day comes, I will raise up the fallen Sukkah of David. In Septuagint, it also means Tabernacle of David. Is the same meaning here. I will close up its gaps, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as it used to be, so that Israel can possess what is left of Edom and of all the nations bearing my name, says Adonai, who is doing this. And I like this verse, Adonai, who is doing this. Let's say together, Adonai. So it's not the man's work, it's obvious, the Lord is doing this. This is one of my favorite prophetic messianic scriptures in the Bible. And during my life, in my ministry, I have heard various sermons relating to this scripture, to this place of scripture. Some Christian scholars believe that the tabernacle of David is the restoration of worship of God in the church. Others that it is the restoration of prophetic ministry or of spiritual gifts. I heard many who heard the same ideas. Yeah, who read the books about it. Of course, to some extent this is true, because in the tabernacle of David, where was worship of God, prophecies were made there. And the Holy Spirit filled the tabernacle with his presence. But I think, personally, this scripture from Amos speaks of a deeper revelation to all of us. In fact, is that the Bible explains itself. And any of the passages which seems to be beyond understanding can be understood based on the context and on scripture given elsewhere in the Bible. So, where else can we find scripture relating to this beautiful prophecy in Amos? So, I would like for you to open Book of Acts chapter 15, and we will have beautiful journey in the Acts chapter 15 today. So, before we read, I would like to explain a few things here. Here we read about the first council of the Messianic communities in Jerusalem, in the Acts chapter 15, at which one of the most important questions of the first congregation was discussed or decided. You know, when I read it today, it even sounds funny, because the question was, can a non-Jew repent and become a believer in Messiah without conversion to Judaism and embracing all the strict rules of Judaism? That was the question in the Acts chapter 15 for the first believers in Jerusalem. Actually, it was a big issue and big question. In other words, to put it simply, can a non-Jew believe in Yeshua, or should he become a Jew first? And I see it's quiet here, because we're thinking about our enemy has so distorted everything today. Because today you can hear the question, can the Jews believe in Yeshua? Or they first become Christians? And there is that story we hear all the time. Jews do not believe in Jesus. Something wrong here. But 2,000 years ago, it was the opposite. The Jews gathered in Jerusalem to decide whether Gentiles could become Messianic believers or must they first convert to Judaism. Can you believe it? Opposite. So let's read Acts chapter 15 and look through these questions from the first verse. Now some men coming down from Judea were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Can you imagine? This was the question. When Paul and Barnabas had a big argument and debate with them, the brothers appointed Paul and Barnabas with some others from among them to go up to Jerusalem to the emissaries and elders about this issue. It was an issue for them. And you know the answer. And of course, to the joy of all nations of the world, the first apostles decided that every person from any nation is pleasing to God, and that there is no need to change their nationality and accept circumcision in order to make tshuva, to repent and believe in Yeshua. I think it was so joyful for all the nations of the world. I would so much like today's Christianity to accept us for who we are. Jews who believe in Messiah Yeshua while remaining Jews. Because this is the question for today. So let's read Acts chapter 15 from the verse 6. The emissaries and elders were gathered together to examine this issue. It was a huge question for them. After much debate, let's say together, much debate. So, much debate. It was not an easy decision. For the first time, the Gentiles, non-Jews, can come to faith in the God of Israel through the Yeshua Messiah and inherit all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through faith. It's a huge dilemma for them. Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God chose from among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the message of the good news and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testify to them by giving them the Ruach HaKodesh, just as he also did for us. It was confirmation. It was testimony for the Jewish people, for Jewish people there, for apostles, for first Talmidim of Yeshua. He made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts through faith. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. And this was the sign for the first believers in Jerusalem, for the Jewish believers. Such a faith in the Messiah. The Lord destroyed the wall which prevented faith in Yeshua, the Messiah, by clearing sin from the hearts of the people. Through faith in the Messiah, we are saved. And it makes no difference whether we are Jews. And it is only through faith in the crucified and resurrected Messiah that we are permitted to come to the Lord. No other ways. Only through faith in the Yeshua, the Messiah. In the Yeshua, the Messiah. And it is interesting today that Torah portion tells us the same thing. I would like to for you to open Leviticus chapter 19, and it's a little view here of Torah portion. From the verse 1, Leviticus 19. Adonai said to Moshe, "Speak to the entire community of Israel. Tell them, your people are to be holy because I, Adonai your God, am holy." So simple but so powerful statement. It means you people are to be separated from all other people, separated to me for my purposes, because I'm holy. But what's interesting here in the Torah portion, before the Lord commands Israel to be holy, to be set apart for him, in previous chapters, we read about the offering of sacrifice and the atonement of all humanity on the day of Yom Kippur. So before the Lord commands us to be holy, he made a sacrifice for us. He paid the price before he commanded. He required us to be holy. He paid the price. So first, faith and sacrifice. And then on the basis of God's righteousness, on his basis, our life is dedicated to him. This is the same idea. The same idea. So let's go back to our prophecy from the book of Amos. And we'll continue to read from the Acts chapter 15, from the verse 13. Let's go deeper here. And after they finished speaking, Jacob answered, "Brothers, listen to me." This is, remember, after all the discussions, all time, long time, hard question. And can you believe? Two Jews, three opinion. I can't imagine. It was a long process. And after all of this, Jacob answered, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described how God first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree as it is written." And here the Amos chapter 9 from the verse 16. "After this, I will return and rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it so that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, namely all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says Adonai, who makes these things known from old." Again, Adonai who makes these things. Do you see Yaakov, he repeats here the prophecy of Amos as a confirmation of miracle around the world. So Apostle Yaakov gives the prophecy about the tabernacle of David as confirmation that the Messiah had already come, and that the Messianic movement that began after the death and resurrection of Yeshua is the fulfillment of the prophecy from the book of Amos. This is the fulfillment of prophecy, restoration of the fallen Mishkan of David, Tabernacle of David. The existence of Jewish Messianic congregations and synagogues today, in these previous days, is a sign for the world, a pain for Satan, and a prophetic confirmation for all believers that we live in the end times. I don't know how about you, I'm excited about it. Yaakov, in his speech in the 15th chapter of Acts, directly links revival, the immersion in the Holy Spirit, and the salvation of Gentiles with the repentance of the Jewish people, the restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. So Yaakov links this prophecy with the revival, what's happened there in front of their eyes. So to make it clear, I want to explain what the tabernacle of David was and how it different from the fallen tabernacle of David. Most tabernacle of Moses is different from tabernacle of David. So we have an old picture. It's the very old. It's the first color picture from Kodak. You see the view from... No, I'm joking. I'm sorry. It's not... It's wine here, so this wine just... The tabernacle of Moses consisted of three parts: the court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. People in general could enter only the courtyard of the tabernacle, only. No option. Only the priests could come into the holy place for service in the special time. And only the high priest, once a year, on Yom Kippur, could enter the Holy of Holies to bring the blood of the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins of all Israel, only once a year. The problem with this arrangement was that God's presence was in the Holy of Holies and the people in the courtyard. People were outside of the presence of the Lord. The tabernacle of David was completely different. We do not have its description, but according to some biblical interpreters, the tabernacle of David is a tent with an ark in the midst of it, with no sections, with no holy of holies, holy tent with the ark of the Lord inside of it, in the middle of it. Levites succeeded each other in shifts 24 hours a day so that worship to the Lord would never stop in this tent. Never, for 24 hours a day. Can you imagine how strong God's presence was in the tent? And actually, we have a beautiful book, Psalms, prophetic Psalms. And Psalms were born in the presence of the Lord, in the Mishkan of David, prophetic about the Messiah. So many Psalms. When the Holy Spirit fell on Messianic believers at the great feast of Shavuot, Pentecost in Jerusalem, this was the restoration of the tabernacle of David. This was the restoration of the presence of the Lord inside of Israel, in the midst of Israel, with no separation on Holy of Holies, holy and courtyard. The Lord poured himself inside of Israel, inside of Jerusalem, in the midst of Jerusalem. And you know what happened then? It was the beginning of the greatest revival in the world history. the Lord himself came to people to live inside of human beings. And what is very interesting, many believers today pray for the salvation of mankind, but few understand this mystery revealed to us by prophet Amos and confirmed by Yaakov. So I would like to say a few words from my perspective. How can such a small messianic movement have such an influence on the whole body of Messiah and on the repentance of all the peoples of the earth? How is it possible? It is hard for us to comprehend. We have nothing to take pride in for ourselves, but we must understand the honor and responsibility of our calling. This is honor. And you know in the scriptures, with honor, always responsibility. More honor, more responsibility. More calling, deeper calling, deeper responsibility. Through the ministry of the Jewish messianic communities, the most important things happens. The restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. This is our calling. Today, the presence of God, His Spirit, fills the hearts of Jews with faith and eternal life. And remarkably, there is also a corresponding spiritual awakening throughout the nations of the earth. And we are a small part of it, but very important part of it. Listen closely as I read the next scripture, because a quiz will follow. We'll have some quiz today. So wake up. Matthew 23, from the verse 37. This is prophetic words from Yeshua, from our Lord and Savior. So listen carefully, because we'll have quiz. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So now quiz. Who do you think will cry those words? All Ukrainians will immigrate to Israel and will cry. Maybe Italians will go there. Maybe Romanians or... So people living in Jerusalem. Who will be living in Jerusalem then? The second question. Oh boy, hard questions, I agree with you. I will answer. Many Jews who believe in the one who comes in the name of the Lord, mainly. Many Jews. Because this is a Jewish state. This is Jewish. Capital of Jewish country, of Israel. So, the third question, who will that one be? Thank you so much, Antonio. I know you're a believer. I can hear you believe in the Lord. Yes, that would be Yeshua, salvation coming to rescue Israel. The next question, and what will happen then? Yeah, they will see me, salvation coming from the Lord. It will be returning of the Lord. Yeshua will come to Israel. So when will it happen? After what thing? After they will cry, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. So the most difficult question. Be ready. And in the meantime, what must we be doing? What is our task from the Lord? It is our task and mission, our assignment from the Lord to bring the unbelieving part of our family, the Jewish people, to Yeshua. This is our part. And this is what Amos chapter 9 speaking about, telling about. So, and finally, in the end, I would like to discuss with you another passage as recorded by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 9 and 11. And I would like you to open with me, please, chapter 11. And before I will read, I would like to explain this chapter. So, one of the main reasons for Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, to write these chapters is that believers among the Romans there had a huge problem. We call it anti-Semitism. They had a huge problem. And I think this has many causes, both spiritual and physical, for anti-Semitism. And one of them, it's my opinion, it is pride. The fact is that Rome in those days was a dominant empire in the known world and was very prosperous. Roman Empire was the biggest empire in the world in the times. Romans were the richest and most successful people on earth at that time, considering themselves better than and superior to other nations of the world. And this sin of pride crept into the first Roman church. Roman believers felt that they more spiritual, wiser and closer to God than believers were from the small Jewish nation. Who they are? We are the Romans. We are conqueror, the God with us. And in chapters 9 and 11, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul rebuked that sin and warned them. You can read it home. It's very important passages. So Paul discovers one of the secrets of the scripture, and this is from the verse 11. Please read with me carefully. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their false step, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if their transgression leads to riches for the world and their loss reaches to the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness? So he realized from the scriptures that the salvation of Israel signifies the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the world, Tikkun Olam, the world to come. The verse 15, for if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? Resurrection of the dead people, returning of the Lord, of the Messiah. It's beautiful. Today we live in special prophetic times, what the scriptures call the last days. And I would like to do history here, a little bit, small lesson. Only 100 years ago, there were not Israel and this earth. There was no messianic movement, only 100 years ago. There was no revival of the Jewish people. But before our very eyes, Israel has been restored, and thousands of Jewish hearts have come to faith. It is something that was impossible until only recently. No one believed it could ever happen, and now it is a daily reality for us. Some young people even don't remember and don't know this truth, that Israel was not existed 100 years ago. But as we know, not all Jewish people came to faith in the Messiah. And as a result of that, news of Yeshua was taken to all the other nations of the world. Many non-Jewish people, who we now refer as the church, have come to faith in Messiah Yeshua over the centuries. But just imagine for 1 second, the day when the Jewish people at last come to fullness in Messiah. How much stronger will be the revival when at last they come to faith, when the restoration of the tabernacle of David is completed. So my parting shot is, be encouraged, each one of you. Let's say to somebody, be encouraged. Yes, our ministry is not easy. The enemy wants to prevent the salvation of the Jewish people, wants to break the messianic movement because he knows the Bible very well. He is legalistic. And he knows that the salvation of the Jews means that he is doomed. He comes to an end. But as we are reminded by verse 26 in the chapter 11, I would like to read it. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Let's say together, will be saved. What does it mean, will be saved? Can you help me to understand, will be saved? So it means probably if something will happen, they will be saved, yeah? Maybe they will be saved. I like even more, they shall be saved. This is no doubt, this is no question, they will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And verse 27, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So I like this word, this is my covenant. So covenant, the Lord promise, it cannot be changed or canceled because the Lord made covenant with Israel. So all Israel shall be saved. And all the world will be singing, my deliverer is coming, my deliverer is standing by. No option. It's great ministry to be part of the restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. For me, the meaning of my existence, the objective of my work, the greatest dream of my life is to see the salvation of my people, the repentance of Israel. And we are predestined to success. We have no choice. We have no better future than to be a part of God's end times reclamation of His people and for all the earth. Amen. So I would like to end with prayer. And I know that I don't answer all questions. But at least I give you some ideas about importance of the messianic movement in the world history. We are so blessed to be part of Jewish messianic congregation in Jacksonville. We are a small part of the greater work around the world. Today is the same congregations around the world, hundreds in Israel. Today is the time of restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. So I would like to say Mazel Tov to you. And I'm so happy that you are here. It's so important to you, for you and for us together. So I'd like to pray. And if you never accepted Yeshua as the Messiah and the Lord of your life, I would like to invite you today into this beautiful journey with the Lord. Accept Him. Be His son, His daughter. Trust Him. Believe in Him in your heart. So if you never pray this prayer, please pray with me. My Heavenly Father, in the name of my Lord Yeshua, I'm coming to you and I ask you, please forgive my sins. In the name of Yeshua, clean me from all my iniquities, Lord, by the blood of your Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Lord, I accept you as my Savior, as my Messiah. And I thank you, Lord, for your death and resurrection for me. Thank you for this opportunity to listen to your words. And thank you for your presence in my life and your love to me. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So let's stand together and close our service with Aaronic benediction. Please not be alone. This is our great custom. If somebody will fall asleep, you can. So let's pray. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give each and every one of you his peace. Amen.
Shabbat shalom, and we have Anonic now in the next door, and please pick up your children. They are waiting for you. Thank you so much. Shabbat shalom.